amazing Kate Casey. Welcome back to this episode of Reality Life with Kate Casey. Hope that you guys are having a great week, that you had a great weekend. I had a million sports practices, and as you've probably seen on my Instagram page, one of my daughters, I usually call my one child gives 30%, but this one probably gives 20%, and she barely kicks the ball at the soccer game. So she might not be a Mia Hamm. I'll just put it that way. I've been trying to catch up on a bunch of different shows. I need to dip back into Love After Lockup. And I had a conversation with Steve Stoff this weekend. We've decided we're going to dip in and watch an episode, and we are going to let you know what we think. 90 Day Fiancé, I have to say, you guys, I feel like it's jumping the shark. I don't think that this pillow talk show is funny or interesting because I see diabolical people like Colt with his gross t-shirts drinking juice boxes. And he thinks he's a superstar of the world, and I'm afraid that we've made him that way. Well, at least I'm not. But the people that watch the show and get crazy about 90 Day Fiancé, I feel like we're creating monsters. So I don't know if I can watch it because it just makes me grossed out. And then I also read an article about 90 Day Fiancé the other way, and it seems like Jenny and Sumit had like ulterior motives. I saw there's a new documentary on HBO that just came out called In the Shadow of the Towers about the students that had just started their day at a school right outside the World Trade Center, blocks from the World Trade Center. And it offers a unique eyewitness perspective on that tragic day and the aftermath from the former students. So that's on HBO. It's called In the Shadow of the Towers, and I will be watching that. We have the season premiere of Dancing with the Stars, and Christy Brinkley is already out, and her daughter just conveniently jumps in. Now, I'm like, is this really a setup? Because I feel like she's been trying to make Sailor Cook a thing, and this seems like a convenient way to get her on the show, because they probably were like, oh, Christy Brinkley, she fits that target area of audience, and now her daughter's on, and now we're going to be convinced that she should be the next superstar of the world. And I have Chris Frangiola, who's going to be reviewing that show at the end of the week. This episode is an interview with John Paul Jones, who I have such an affinity for. I think he is absolutely funny on television. He's so matter-of-fact, and he's really smart, which differentiates himself with some of the other cast members on that show. Like, you get the sense that he actually, you know, reads books and like reads newspapers and knows what's going on in the world. So I was really excited to catch up with him and to learn about what life has been like since he's been on the show. And then he gave me some exclusive information about his love life post-show, which I know that you will be very interested in hearing. So here's my episode or my interview with John Paul Jones. You guys know I'm crazy about Audible because it offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. Audible really is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment, with female writers and heroines, celebrity narration, multicast productions with immersive sound design, and traditional audiobooks. Audible has you covered for any type of excitement that you're looking for. In fact, right now I'm listening to The Second Husband by Kate White. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. That's audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. John Paul Jones appeared on the Hannah Brown season of The Bachelorette and has been, in my opinion, the star of Bachelor in Paradise this summer. John Paul Jones has become a dear friend, dare I say, could be a family member at some point. I feel like I know him extremely well. I've had phone conversations with his father, who is a delight. And I am happy to tell you I have tracked him down. John Paul, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kate. Thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here and answer some questions that you might have.
First, I have to say, I knew watching the show that you were my people, and I did quick internet research and found out that you went to Catholic University of America. I need to point out to those that are not aware that I am a graduate of Trinity College, which is across the street from Catholic University.
Yeah, literally.
And lived in the Cloisters apartments, which, for those that are not aware, because probably
that's so wild,
wouldn't know, is a shithole apartment complex on Michigan Avenue in Washington, D.C. Did you ever live there?
No, I didn't, but I had friends there. They always had issues with their stuff getting stolen, and it was always smelly. It was not a good deal. But, you know, the upside was that you could drink over there, because, you know, drinking was banned on campus. So that's kind of how it became famous at Catholic.
So did you live all 4 years at Catholic, or did you ever move off campus?
Yeah, I lived the first 2 years on campus, and then I moved into the swim house my senior year. I was friends with all the swim guys, and they had an extra room in there, so I like slept in the attic of the swim house. It was a lot of fun.
Listen, there is no place more fun than DC. Now, when I was there, which was in 1962, at this point it feels like it, our college bar was the Irish Times on Capitol Hill. It is my understanding that was not your college bar. Where did you guys go?
Yeah, no, we went to Adams Morgan. There was a bar called Shenanigans that had an all-you-could-drink open bar for $10 between 9 and 11 o'clock at night. Yeah, it was awesome. It was almost too good to be true. So you just have to fork out, $5 for the Uber, and, you know, you'd spend a total of $20 to go out and have a good time in D.C. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed my time at Catholic, and yeah, it was super unique.
So let's go back. You are not from D.C. Tell everybody where you're from.
Yeah, I kind of bounced all over the place. I was born in Oregon. I lived there for about 4 months when I was an infant, and then moved to Texas for 2 years. And then thereafter, I moved to Wisconsin. More specifically, I lived in Milwaukee for about 13 years, then lived in Green Bay for about 5 years. And my second semester senior year of high school, I transferred schools to Kansas because, you know, we just kind of followed my dad's career, right? And spent one semester of high school in Kansas, and then went to Catholic after that in D.C. So kind of from all over the place. But I live and work in right outside of D.C. right now in a town called Lanham.
I know it well. Now, people need to know that your father is an angel wing dove from heaven. He is the nicest person.
Oh man, get out of here. No, he really is. He really is.
And your parents are still married, and they have how many children? Answer.
Yeah, they had five of us.
I love it.
I just kind of grew up. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And you know what it's like. It's great. Your kids don't know it now. They might be a little bit embarrassed when they go out in public, you know, to have a bunch of siblings around their friends, but trust me, later in life, they're going to appreciate that you and your husband decided to have a big family. I mean, it's just great. You know, your siblings always have your back. And, you know, as we've moved into adulthood, you know, they just become your best friends. It's really
so
awesome.
You have a brother, and then you have three sisters. And where are you
right.
in the number of kids? What are you?
Yeah, so let's see. How old is Bill? Bill's 29, Mary is 27, I'm 24, Judy is 21, and Jilly is 19.
Your parents named a 20-year-old Judy.
Yeah, I know. It's a pretty uncommon name, but I think if you met Judy, you'd understand it. Click. You'd talk to her for a little bit and go, okay, yeah, you're definitely a Judy.
So tell me how in the world this Catholic University graduate from a family of five ends up on The Bachelorette.
It's a good question, I suppose. Well, I had truthfully never really invested any time in watching the show. I really don't watch a lot of TV. But my sisters are both, my cousins are huge fans. And so they told me about a casting that had taken place in Baltimore. And, you know, I was about a year and a half out of college. And, you know, the prospect of it sounded like a lot of fun. You know, it just, I mean, why not? You know, I had a few sort of quick relationships out of college, nothing serious. And I hadn't really prioritized, you know, sort of my dating life. And it just seemed like a great opportunity to potentially meet someone. And, you know, if not, it just would have been a fun all around experience. And so I just walked into this casino in Baltimore and basically answered a few questions in front of a camera. And I just kept getting called back. And eventually they flew me out to LA and, you know, met with the producers and they gave me the role on The Bachelorette. It was it was a lot of fun. I'm super glad I did.
How long did it take you to come up with your whatever you said when you got out of the limo?
Oh, man. Yeah, that was. Yeah, I sort of brainstormed a lot of different ideas and I got, you know, I'd gotten some input from some people and I believe I said, hi, my name is John Paul Jones. My friends call me John Paul Jones. So you can call me John Paul Jones. It was just seemed like a really like riskless, easy thing to do. And, you know, I think people liked it.
How into Hannah were you? Like at first were you like, sweet Jesus, this girl is it? Or were you like a normal person and thought, I need to get to know this person before I profess my undying love to her?
Yeah. So like I knew a decent bit about Hannah before The Bachelorette, because I'd watched the Bachelor, because I knew like, okay, I could be dating one of these girls. So I may as well, try to get a sense for them. And, I don't know. I just couldn't really, see us clicking. And, you know, I was open to, you know, a romantic connection, but, you know, and she would say the same thing. There just was no chemistry there. But she was a super fun girl. We each had a great time and, you know, she kept me around, long enough for me to go on Paradise. So, you know, I'm super grateful for meeting Hannah Brown. The girls are awesome.
So of the contestants that were on The Bachelor that season, and you're watching that through the lens of one of these girls I might be dating, if, you know, should this all pan out. Was there one of the girls that you thought, now that one, I might have something in, you know, some sort of connection with her and could see myself dating?
Yeah. I was definitely hoping like Tayshia would have been The Bachelorette because I knew that she and I had similar values. And I just think, you know, that had the highest probability of success, you know, had she been The Bachelorette. So I've been hoping for her, but you know, at the same time, you know, you never know who The Bachelorette's going to be. So I was expecting either Tayshia, Hannah G, or Cassie to be The Bachelorette. Granted, I don't read the spoilers. I didn't know that she, you know, wound up with Colton, but I was prepared for
it. Okay. So now you're off the show, you get off the show and you feel like, and once it starts airing, what the heck just happened to my life? Are you getting direct messages from all over the place or people super into you, or was it relatively quiet after The Bachelorette?
Yeah. So I think three episodes before flying out to go do Paradise. And it was relatively quiet, you know. I don't know. I think before I left Paradise, I had about, I don't even know, like 20,000 followers. And yeah, the direct messages came in and it was all positive. And, you know, just really, you know, Bachelor Nation's a great group of people. You know, they just, you know, I was overwhelmed by everyone's kindness. You know, I was really kind of embarrassed, to be honest, after my entrance. I thought, oh gosh, you know, they portrayed me as this weirdo and, you know, everyone's going to hate me. I don't know. I had no idea what to expect because they played that quirky music and just, oh gosh, it was cringeworthy, you know, watching my entrance. Oh, I can't tell you. It was brutal. But, everything was great.
Were people from college like, what are you doing on The Bachelor or Bachelorette?
Yeah. I'd kind of gone into college with the expectation of meeting my wife and that didn't happen. And
what?
Still,
this is what kills me about Catholic university students. They're bananas. Okay. The girls at Catholic university, when I was an undergrad, would put their names on the list to get married at the Basilica, which is, by the way, one of the most beautiful, you know, places you could get married.
Yes. largest church on the Western Hemisphere.
They would tell them it's a 6-year waiting list, and they'd say, yeah, I know, I want to get married here, so I'm just hoping that if I sign up for October 19th of what, you know, 6 years from now, that I'm going to meet somebody. Did you really think, because you said that on, you know, on the show, I've been looking for my wife. Like, did you really think at 22, 23 years old, like, I really need to find a wife?
Well, I mean, it's, well, I'll tell you right now, like, I know some people that got married immediately upon graduating. So like, I was definitely open to it. You know, my parents got married immediately after college. My sister got married immediately after college. I was definitely open to the possibility, you know, because I dated a good amount in high school, and, you know, I dated a lot in college. So I was really open to it. But no, I didn't put my name on the Basilica, you know, waiting list or anything like that.
So how long, when you sign up for the, or after you leave the Bachelorette, are you hoping that the producers call you for Bachelor in Paradise? Like, do you have, is it like, you're sitting around waiting? What is it like?
No, I wasn't expecting, I didn't even know Paradise was a show. Like, I just thought it was The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. I didn't even know Bachelor in Paradise was a show. And to my surprise, it was the day after I got sent home, that one of the producers called me and asked me if I was interested in Paradise, and, I didn't commit to it immediately. I just wasn't sure, like, cause it's a spinoff show, you know, and it just sounded kind of corny. And, I watched, last year's season, and it looked like a lot of fun. So just decided to wing it. Why not?
How much do you pack for Bachelor in Paradise?
Yeah, so you have one, like, extra large suitcase, like one of those massive suitcases that you take to college, and you pretty much put all of your summer clothes in there. You know, you just sweat so much in Mexico, and you're just constantly changing your clothes. So it's important to pack your entire wardrobe.
Do they have a washer and dryer? Do they have a dry cleaner? Can you, what?
No. You just kind of, you know, there are handlers that take, you know, that'll take your dirty laundry. They'll get a dry clean for you. It's really nice.
Okay. Then how much are these girls packing? Are we talking clothes? Do they bring like bucket size bins of makeup?
Oh man. Honestly, I don't even know. Probably. Like, I can tell you right now, like, I don't think there's a single girl on the cast that wore the same outfit twice. Like, I'm pretty sure some people brought more than two bags. You know, they'd limit you to two bags, but I just don't see how you could wear that many outfits, you know, and fit it into two bags. It's insane the amount of clothes that the girls had. I re-wore some outfits. I just didn't really care. You know, I thought I'd be on the show maybe for a couple days and then get off. I just didn't really, I don't know, after The Bachelorette, I just didn't really believe in the process and, you know, because I had no chemistry with Hannah, and everything felt so forced.
So you get there. Had you been starving yourself? Did you limit your carbohydrate intake? And then you went balls to the wall when you got to have some tacos. Like, what are all those people starving themselves?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you're familiar with Moctezuma's Revenge, right? I mean, that definitely happened to me and a few other guys a few times. So you're not starving yourself, but it's definitely hard to put food down because, one, you know, the water is an issue at times. And two, you know, it's so hot out. I think it just kind of suppresses your appetite a little bit. And I don't know. It's honestly, it's pretty stressful being in that environment. And I think the anxiety kind of reduces your appetite a little bit. And, you know, you can only get excited to eat tacos so many times. You know, that's pretty much all I ate was steak tacos. They were good, but you can only handle it after so many times.
So when you're like, look like you're barfing and sound like you're barfing, you had Montezuma's Revenge.
No. That's funny. There's this hot sauce at the resort that we stayed at. It's called the Gringo Killer Sauce. And they didn't tell me that they put that on the tacos. And, I don't know. I think it was a combination of stress at the time and just the the sauce was just super spicy. And I also do have a sensitive stomach, and I don't know, it just didn't bode well with me at the time.
How much of the time that you're spent there is talking about really stupid stuff, or are there people that are actually talking about like complicated political systems and books that they've read and the love of art and culture?
Yeah, it's a good question. So some of the conversations that you have are, you know, just kind of small talk, you know, shooting the shit, if you will. And some of the other conversations are, you know, can be intellectual, you know, like Tayshia and I talked about a lot of deep stuff, you know, that I didn't talk about with everyone else. So, you know, that was really cool. So it just kind of depends on, you know, the level of, you know, the connection that you have with people. I think I had some pretty good conversation. Yeah, Onyeka and I had some really good conversations. She and I both work in finance. You know what? No, she's not finance. She works for an accounting firm, but we both kind of work in the same stratosphere. And I think she and I had some good talks. But yeah, for the most part, it's just kind of BSing. Chris Bukowski and I think he and I had some pretty good talks. But for the most part, you're just kind of, you know, shooting the shit.
Which person did you think, there's not one thing I can talk to with them? It's not my fault. It's not theirs. It's just not going to happen for us.
I don't know. Dylan and I were like that for a little bit, just because we're so, he and I are just so competitive with each other. But we really actually came around and really started to get along midway through the show. But I don't know. There really wasn't anyone like
that.
Did
you actually have a connection with Haley?
Yeah, we did. I think if you remember from the show, Tayshia wanted me to explore other relationships, and I wasn't. I don't know. I just didn't want to seem, I guess, overly committed to her at the time. So I went on the date with Haley, and yeah, Haley and I had a great time. You know, she really, you know, kind of opened up to me a little bit, and I saw a deeper side to her. And, you know, I learned that, you know, she's a really smart, interesting girl. And yeah, there was some level of connection there for sure.
Okay. Now you got into a fight with Derek, and a lot of people were up in arms about this argument that you had at Goose's wedding. Was it that big of a deal? Like, did you really destroy their wedding?
I mean, I'd say it was, look, I'll say this. I'm just really grateful that ABC chose me to be a part of the show. It is a little surprising that some viewers had a hard time understanding me, but I'm confident over time, and most certainly if they sat down with me, that they would understand that my intentions were pure. And look, I grew up in a big house. There were five of us kids, and I have three sisters. My parents taught me to always protect them. I think it's really important for young men to be mindful of how they treat women. Derek made some comments that I felt were inappropriate and certainly alarming. I didn't want them to be swept under the rug. How could I face my mom and my sisters if I didn't speak up? Many of the viewers are young women, and they should know men like myself respect them. Tayshia is an incredible woman. And while I obviously could not speak for her, I did. I could have been less heated when approaching Derek, but I think you can sort of appreciate and have some level of understanding for some of the influences at work on the show. And I just wanted Derek to know that what he said was crossing a line, and, you know, I would assume other men would do the same.
Wow. So this is, so something probably sounds like a little bit worse than what was maybe said on the show. What is that like when there are these conversations that kind of happen off, and how does that happen kind of off camera? I mean, it feels like you guys are filmed all the time. Is it frustrating how did that not get caught?
Yeah. Like, you know, we all sleep in the same room, and, you know, you just, again, have small talk, and you hear things, and you ask certain questions to, you know, understand people. And, again, certain things come out, I think there are some places, you know, where the camera, you know, that the camera isn't covering, you know, I think like kind of by the balcony, area where, you know, the guys would get changed. I don't know if there was a camera out there, but.
Well, I would hope not. Yeah. I mean, ugh. Did you ever have that worry, like the cameras covering, you know, taking a shower or something? Like, is there a camera in here? Do you start to become paranoid about it?
Honestly, like, you just kind of trust that, well, I'll say this, like, you're on ABC. They're not going to show, you know, they're not going to show you naked on ABC, right? So, you know that, you know, it's a little weird. There's probably some guy, you know, sitting behind a monitor watching you, but I mean, that guy is the only person in the world that's like looking at you, right? So, and you just know it's never going to get aired. It's a little strange at first. Like, I just remember at the house, you know, the Bachelor Mansion. I just remember like the first day of being there. We were all freaking out because the cameras would move and as we'd walk. And like, we were all freaked out that the cameras, you know, would catch everything that we'd say and, you know, that all of our personal information would get leaked and that, it, you know, NZK Productions would ruin our lives. But there's so much that doesn't get aired. And, you know, you just, you know, after a little bit of time, you really stop to worry about it.
So you meet Tayshia, you know, in this experience, and it turns out that you two like totally are into each other, which... You spilled the beans to me a couple weeks ago, and I just thought, what? That was surprising to me. So you two, look at you two. Like, what happened?
Yeah, honestly, I don't even know. I wanted to go home before I recited that poem to her. I just didn't really see myself being with anybody there. You know, and I just didn't want to be there to, you know, swap roses and be on TV, you know, for sort of a meaningless purpose, I guess. But Tayshia and I actually had struck up a conversation in the food area one night. And it was a rather deep conversation. We sort of discovered that, we both have a common faith. And, you know, I'm Catholic and she's Lutheran. So, you know, I think we kind of discovered that we had similar values. I think we just kind of decided to give it a shot, and just see what happened.
And then look at you two. And your dad told me, by the way, that all of a sudden, all these chicks are going to your parish now, hoping to see you. Like, don't you think that the bishop, you know, should give you some change or something?
You're funny.
For the love of God. I mean, what you've done to the community for the Catholic diocese, you should get some payback.
Oh, man, that's funny. I don't know. You definitely, I think Bachelor in Paradise has a really negative connotation associated with it. And so that, you know, I've definitely gotten some sort of negative looks, but I'm sure Father Angeloni, you know, appreciates my attendance at mass, you know, whatever.
So what's the future for you and Tayshia? Now you have a real job, which I'm so grateful that you have a real job. I can't tell you, if you start selling bangle ankle bracelets for men or tummy tea, I'm gonna have a problem.
It's a nice side hustle, right? But I'm really grateful for my job. I'm a financial analyst at a tech company outside of DC, and I would definitely say it's been the best thing for me in this entire process. Like the meeting, you know, the day after I got off Paradise, I went right back to work, and that just kind of helped me just get in touch with reality and just to keep my feet on the ground for sure.
Well, I'm glad for it. Now, what's the future for you and Tayshia? Because she lives in Orange County, you live in Maryland,
right?
Are you going to move to another city, or is one of you going to shack up with the other? Like, how are we going to make this work? Do I need to start looking for things on the wedding registry?
Well, LA is definitely a prospective spot for me to live. You know, there have been a few job opportunities that have arisen as a result of being on the show. So that's definitely a prospect. But yeah, she and I are just taking, you know, one day at a time, and we're both just really grateful, you know, that we were able to meet over, you know, this experience. We're still kind of hashing that out. So I'll have to get back to you when, you know, things are kind of set in stone. Like my life is just a total storm right now. There's just, I'm going through 2020 budgeting right now. And I haven't had a minute to, you know, just take a breath, honestly.
One of the questions that all of these women have asked me, which it defies logic, but the most important question, and they're bothering them, they must know.
What is
your astrological sign? Which I don't understand. Why is that so important?
What does that matter? What's the deal?
I feel like it's because they're like, I think that he and I would be fantastic together, and I am so confident that I need to look up both of our astrological signs to see if we're compatible.
Honestly, Kate, I couldn't tell you.
I actually know it.
I have no idea. I actually know it.
Find out. I know it because your dad told me your birthday.
Stop.
So you are a Sagittarius. So for the girls that are dying to know, you're a Sagittarius.
What does that mean? I'm a Sagittarius.
I don't know. I think it's a fire sign. That's probably why we get along, because we both would like kick a door down. Okay, so immediate future you're not really sure of. You found long and lasting love for the near future with Tayshia. Who are the people that you're going to keep in touch with from this Bachelor Nation world? Like, give me three people, two dudes and a girl that you're like, they are legit. We are friends forever. We had a great time, and we're going to make this last long.
Yeah. Good question. I've done a really bad job of keeping in touch with everyone. I've just been so freaking busy the last couple months. But I'll definitely, you know, Connor S. and I will definitely stay in touch. Chris Bukowski for sure. And let's see, who else? Females, gosh. Tayshia, obviously. And Nicole. You know what? Nicole and I both went to Catholic just at different times.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Isn't that wild? We have some mutual friends. It's pretty funny.
Hanging out with Connor, does it bother you the way he talks, because it's so similar to your style of like frat bro talk?
Connor and I became it's so funny. Connor's the first guy that I talked to when I walked into the Bachelor Mansion. Everyone was, you know, kind of congregating in the middle, and Connor was standing in the back of the living room, and I went up to him and said, shook his hand and go, hey man, you want to be my wingman in this thing? And we created a friendship at that point. It was really cool.
Are you going to go on Derek's podcast?
with all due respect,
no.
I will not be going on Derek's
podcast.
Okay,
well, here, some good news is that your father has told me that you are going to babysit for me. And when you inevitably move to Los Angeles, and since Tayshia lives close by, that you two are going to come babysit my five kids so I can go take a night on the town with my husband and maybe make a sixth baby, which we will name after you. John.
Hilarious, Kate. You're so
John
funny.
Paul Jones, Tayshia Rodrigues, and that's the future for us.
Oh, man. Yeah, it sounds like a great time. You know, if I'm in the area, I'd be more than willing to do that.
Good.
For sure.
Okay. Well, listen, tell everybody where they can track you down to kind of keep up with what you're working on and your love.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Well, I'm no longer a contestant on the show, so I like to keep, you know, a good amount of my life private. But if you want to follow, you know, what I'm doing, you can follow me on Instagram. My name is John Paul Jones. It's just my name twice. No spaces. John Paul Jones.
Isn't it confusing at your house because your dad's name is Paul?
You know what? My dad's name is actually William. He goes by W.
Wait, I'm dying. My dad's name is William. My dad's name is William Paul.
Oh,
my dad's name's William Paul, and he goes by Paul.
No.
I swear to God. But now in later years.
Stop. It's because William sounds funny. It's kind of a funny sounding name. Like, I don't know. It's like, it's in the same category as Winston. Like, who wants to be named Winston?
Well, the weird part is.
No offense to any Winstons out there, but it's just kind of a funny name.
Now he believes himself to be an Irish patriot and has an Irish brogue, even though he's from Philadelphia. And he goes by the name Liam because he sounds more Irish. So that might be your father's future.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I don't know. You'll have to take that up with him. I have no idea.
So Kate. Good. Well, I can't thank you enough, and I'm confident in you and your future, and I look forward to you babysitting the kids.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Hey, yeah, thanks so much for the invite to babysit the kids, and thanks again for having me on the podcast. Kate, it was great talking.
Love you.
Yeah, love you too. Great talking to you.
I want to remind you guys to check out my Patreon page, patreon.com/KateCasey. I have a bunch of bonus episodes. You can go there and check them out. Also, make sure you subscribe to the show and you leave a 5-star review, which is so helpful to me. We have a Facebook page for my show, Reality Life with Kate Casey. Go into the Facebook page, talk about today's episode, all of the previous episodes, what you want to hear on future episodes, and we're also deep diving reality shows all week long. And of course, you can check me out on Twitter at Kate Casey. I tweet about shows and during shows all week long. And my Instagram is @KateCaseyCA. I'm wishing you guys a great rest of the week and catch up with me on Friday with an all new episode.
Murder on My Mind, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus, explores the circumstances leading up to the murder of two young men and the mistrials of the man accused of killing them. Up-and-coming rapper YNW Melly gained notoriety in the hip-hop world for his shocking lyrics and criminal exploits. When two of his best friends were gunned down in a drive-by shooting, investigators suspected the young rapper staged the scene. But after not one, but two trials that ended in hung juries and new evidence that may place YNW Melly at the scene of the crime, his trial has been paused indefinitely. With countless twists and turns, Law and Crime covers all angles of the case and begs the question, is this young artist the victim of a witch hunt or a silver-tongued devil who's evil to the core? Listen to Murder on My Mind exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.